You're listening to the David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, November the 19th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today, we've got a lot of news. We've got updates on immigration news. Of course, updates on the impeachment hearing. One satire site said they're going to be bringing in Beyonce for the halftime show at the impeachment hearing because of low ratings. That's right. Nobody cares. Everybody's already made up their mind about President Trump. And make no mistake about it. This is about the man. Now bring me the man, I'll find the crime. This isn't about a policy difference. As a matter of fact, everything has been put on hold. Remember when the Democrats whined about shutting down government? Well, they've done it themselves now. Don't throw me in that briar patch. Let's just hope that they keep this going long enough that they don't enact any authoritarian legislation to take away any more of our freedoms. But, of course, they're still talking about that. We have Democrats talking about gun control in the wake of the shooting in California, which has the most gun control of any state in the country. As a matter of fact, the very things that they're talking about enacting have already been put in place in California. So we're going to take a look at the culture as well. We had a major capitulation today in the form of Chick-fil-A capitulating to the LGBT tyranny. And so we're going to talk about that coming up. What does that really mean for us, as well as immigration? But I want to begin with the rise of what I would call the technocratic terminators. You know, we have a technocracy that is forming. It is global in its extent. You know, when we talk about the multinational corporations, when we talk about globalism, when we talk about one world government, all these things are tied together in the rise of the technocracy. And this is, as I've pointed out before, a 100-year goal. They've been longing for this, writing science fiction about this, creating organizations to accomplish this in the open for at least the last 100 years. And, of course, the desire goes even longer than that. But in the last 100 years, it took a very specific direction. As I point out, H.G. Wells talks about the technocrats. John Cabal, we call these guys, and the airmen. And they were technologically superior to other people. They thought that we were not sufficient to govern ourselves, so they were going to do it for us. That was H.G. Wells' take on it. The movie Things to Come, you've probably seen. I played a clip of that a couple of weeks ago. Elon Musk's grandfather actually created Technocracy Incorporated in Canada. They charged him with treason, said you're trying to overthrow our government. They were right. He beat the rap, and he beat it to South Africa. But they're still up to the same issues. And there's an interesting article from the Wall Street Journal, and taking a look at a new book. It's called The Google Archipelago. Now, this is a deliberate reference to Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago. Gulag was an acronym that the Soviet Union used for their prison system, their system of concentration camps, labor camps, if you will. And so it was a three-volume set that Solzhenitsyn wrote about life in the Soviet Union, from Lenin to Stalin. He suffered under that as a political prisoner. And quite frankly, Google Archipelago, the subtitle is The Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom. That is a genius title. They simulate freedom while they take it away. And you better understand what is coming. As they point out, it is the combination of woke capital, and monopoly power. And it is going to turn America, and I would say the world, into an open-air prison. And Google themselves are leading the charge in their sidewalk labs to establish this open-air prison that the United Nations calls smart cities. We'll be right back and break down what this book, the wisdom of this book, and more news when we come back. Stay with us.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Tuesday, November 19th, year of our Lord, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We've got much news today. But I want to begin with what is really the foundation of the coming tyranny, the technocratic tyranny. The technocratic terminators who seek to terminate everything in our lives. They seek to terminate our free speech, our ability to be able to shoot back, our ability to not only communicate, but to be able to move. You know, move, shoot, communicate, those three things that are the military goal to dominate a people. Well, that's what the technocrats seek to terminate. And as I was saying at the top of the hour, there's a great new book out by a guy named Michael Rechtenwald. Interestingly enough, Rechtenwald is a liberal academic. He was, as James Kirkpatrick writes in talking about this book, he says he was chased out of New York University because he dissented mildly from the pronoun wars. You know, the pronoun wars. You can't say he and she anymore. You can't have binary pronouns. The leftists demanded blanket approval for transgenderism. We've talked about this before, the RT story. I was a liberal New York professor, but when I said the left was going too far, my colleagues called me a Nazi and treated me like a Russian spy. What a surprise. I would suggest that Dan Cathay, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, read this person's account. You cannot appease the LGB tyranny. You can't appease it. No matter what you do, you cannot appease these people. And once you start to take that step down woke capitalism, where you try to appease them, where you start to care more about virtue signaling than about profits and so forth, there's no turning back. So this guy, is a leftist, a liberal academic, but he understands what's going on with that. He understands the efforts to control us, but he's laying out something even more important than that. His book, Google Archipelago, the Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom. Again, the Gulag is the term for the Soviet Union's prison system, their labor camps used from Lenin to Stalin. Solzhenitsyn talked about the Gulag archipelago. Well, let's talk about the Google archipelago, because they are setting up a system of labor camps. That is really what the smart city agenda is. It's a UN agenda. They're going to sell it as, oh, it helps the environment. It's sustainable. The UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability, which replaced the UN Agenda 21. You know, sometime in the 21st century, we're going to, initially the UN said with Agenda 21, we're going to pack everybody into the cities because the earth is special. And you're going to take all those dirty humans and we're going to corral them into cities where we can keep an eye on them and control their behavior, because they're nothing but a virus. We've got to contain that virus that is destroying Mother Earth, Gaia, Pachamama, whatever you want to call it. These people with their pagan spiritualism, worshiping the earth as if it was a sentient creature, a god, a goddess, of course. Goddess. cannot be a god. That would be paternal. But it was always the agenda to pack us into the cities. For years, we showed you the Agenda 21 map. And most of the United States, off limits to everyone. Kind of like they're doing in the national parks. They brag about the fact that you go to the national parks. Only 1% of this is available to the public. The rest of it is in its pristine form. You can't get there. You can't see it. Well, that's their model for everything, because they want to contain and to control us in every way possible. So how does this break down? He lays out several terms, and if we understand these terms, it really does kind of define where this is going. Number one, the Google Archipelago, the title of his book, he refers to that as a corporate leftist centralized system of big digital. Now, big digital is a little bit broader in the way that he defines it than big data. We've talked about big data. Big data was the idea that you're going to get everything for free. Come on, the internet is free. You can use Google. It's free. YouTube is free. Facebook is free. Twitter is free. Except you are the product. They monitor everything that you do. And, of course, the liberals get upset about this because they say, well, you're going to watch what I do and you're going to send it to sell it to people who want to sell me soap and butter. Well, no, actually, their big paying customers are the military industrial complex, the government. They are the ones who want to know everything about you. And the biggest and fastest growing field of intelligence is geospatial intelligence, your metadata, everything about you. That is why they created these structures, to get that information, to pass it on to the government so they could control you. And it is a closed-loop system. They have feedback. They can not only do open-air propaganda, you know, as we had Edward Bernays doing, you know, he was there before Goebbels was, right? Edward Bernays was doing it for Woodrow Wilson to get us to support World War One here in America. And then he became an advertising guru because he was so good at convincing people. But it was the government first. Think about that, liberals. Before Edward Bernays started selling you cigarettes, he was selling you war. Where you get poison gas. Just as an aside here, as I start thinking about that, I had an uncle or a great uncle who had been in World War One, and he had been gassed. And it had caused problems with him, and he'd had to have his larynx removed. And he had a hole in his throat. But he would still smoke a cigarette. Like, as I grew up, I thought about that. It's like, haven't you had enough poison gas as it is? It freaked me out. I mean, he would, somebody who doesn't have a larynx, you know, he'd use this electronic wand that he'd hold up to his throat, and it would project his voice out there like a Cylon. Of course, they hadn't had that yet. I was very young. And then he wanted to smoke, and when he would smoke, he would take the cigarette and he would stick it in the hole in his throat. Anyway, just a little bit of an aside here. I just had to go back to that as I was thinking about World War One. Edward Bernays selling us cigarettes as well as World War One. But going back to big digital is bigger than big data. Big data was where they roped you all in. Big data means that they can monetize it if they can get all the information about you. It's only valuable to them if they know everything. Because it's important for them to know everything, to know if their propaganda that they were broadcasting for many decades is actually being accepted by you and which parts of it are working. So they won't be able to get that feedback on social media so they can fine-tune the lies that they sell you. But big data in Rechtenwald's book also encompasses, as he points out, quote, megadata services, media, cable, internet services, social media platforms, artificial intelligence agents, apps, and the developing Internet of Things. Yeah. The Internet of Things. As we just learned, Google and their yellow paper, talking about Sidewalk Labs in Toronto, where they're going to establish that in Denver, Detroit, Alameda, California, for starters, everywhere, eventually. In their yellow paper, they talk about Internet of Things and how they will have a unique identifier for every object. You know, David Petraeus, when he was CIA director, bragged about the fact that in a few years, and this is 6 years ago maybe, he said this, They said, in the coming years, your appliances will be talking to us, the CIA, about you, telling us everything that you do. And we talked about that a great deal. People called us conspiracy theorists for exposing this conspiracy. But we also said at the time that they're so interested in you, you're really what they want to control. They don't care about controlling your refrigerator or your air conditioning and heating. They want to control you. They don't want to control your guns. They want to control you. And as Google talked about this, inventorying everything, you know, all the autonomous cars that are not autonomous but centrally controlled and owned by the technocratic elite, they will be inventoried. But the key inventory item are you. They're slaves. You will be part of the Internet of Things. They look at you as nothing more than a thing to be feared, a thing to be controlled. More insights about this, more news coming up. Stay with us.
A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. About a month ago, President Trump announced that he was going to move his domicile from New York City to Florida, where he's always said he planned to retire to. And the left got so excited. They said, oh, he's about to resign and leave instead of facing impeachment, and he's running to Florida. Well, now we know why the president did that. He knew the leftist-controlled appeals courts were going to say that he had to give up his tax returns so they can pore over them and harass every business partner he's got. They want to terrorize people that he's worked with. And by moving his domicile from New York to Florida, that gets around the New York law they passed to get his tax returns that are supposed to be private. So all those people out there holding their breath for the president to resign, in his words, we're kicking the deep state's ass, and he's never going to resign. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video, and that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And then if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at Infowars.com/show and band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're just taking a look at the Google Archipelago, the digital gulag, the simulation of freedom, because you just think you're free, right? On the internet, it's free. Libertarians, Reason, Cato, conservatives, Heritage Foundation, the people who were invited to President Trump's garden party to tell him there's nothing to worry about, President Trump. This is just the free marketplace at work. And this is great. You don't need to do anything about it. Go back to sleep. Get on Twitter. So we've got the Google Archipelago, the corporate leftist centralized system of big digital. Big digital, which includes not only their big data system, but all of their data services, media, cable, internet services, social media, so forth, the internet of things. Then there is corporate socialism. Corporate socialism, economic and political system under which the private monopoly or private oligopolies, rather than the state, eliminates competition and controls all production. Well, corporate socialism. I mean, you talk about it's really, when we merge corporations with government, we have fascism. And that's really what we have right now. That's what we have in China. That's what the people in Hong Kong say. They're not Chi-Coms. They're Nazis. The communist Chinese are really Nazis. You know, Hitler was a socialist. He was a socialist who was hyper-nationalist. That's exactly what the Chinese are. And they control the different corporations. It is a merger of the two. They have a common goal. It is a public-private partnership. Now, what he's talking about here is corporate socialism, which would indicate that the corporations have a bit of the upper hand. I'm not sure that that's true. I still see DARPA and the military-industrial complex as being in control. Because these are the people who have no qualms about killing you. As soon as Google starts assassinating people, I'll think that they are the leader. Until then, I will say that it's the CIA, NSA, DARPA, and so forth. And then he talks about Google Marxism, which is what George Gilder talked about in Life After Google. He says that these people in the technocratic elite in Silicon Valley are neo-Marxist, like Marx. They believe that there are no obstacles to production. We can have everything that we need materially. And the only issue is how is it going to be distributed? Well, politically, of course, right? To those people who need it. And so he says these people in Silicon Valley are just neo-Marxists. They believe that their system of technological superiority, artificial intelligence, and so forth, it's going to produce unlimited amounts of material goods. They don't need us anymore to work, so it's just how are they going to allocate it to us? That's why you have all these Silicon Valley people so excited to push both Andrew Yang with his universal basic income and Buttigieg, because that's exactly what they're pushing. Rechtenwald, who wrote the book, argues further that Google Marxism, like socialism with Chinese characteristics, manifests a state-supported monopoly capitalism. That's right. As a matter of fact, the other aspect of this is woke capital. This is something that is a term, I guess, was first used by a New York Times columnist. It's kind of James Kirkpatrick call him, he's a token conservative there at the New York Times. Back in February 2018, he coined the term in an article, The Rise of Woke Capital. Woke capital means that you are not really that much concerned about making profits. You're more concerned about enacting a social agenda. I think all it really means is that they're taking the longer view. They are looking to curry favor with the politicians and make sure they do exactly what they want to do. That's part of the woke capitalism. But he makes an interesting point. He says, instead of the internet freeing discussions, Rechtenwald in his Google archipelago notes accurately that we're witnessing the disappearance of public discursive space. He said, speech outside the digital sphere is irrelevant. You see, that's the genius of what they did. They go in and they create a space and they say, we're going to be the, as Jack Dorsey said, we're going to be the free speech wing of the free speech party at Twitter. Everybody come on in. You can say and do whatever you want. You know, find people that you're interested in and, you know, news that you're interested in, people that you want to converse with. You can see what you want to see, hear what you want to see, and give us your opinion. Give everybody your opinion. And then after they get everybody in, then they close the doors and they start eliminating people. But it's now become the digital space. So as he points out, speech outside this digital sphere is becoming irrelevant. And who can speak inside this is determined by the companies that practice blatant double standards, egregious bias, politically motivated designations of fake news, and tilted search engine algorithms. The tech companies have acted like referees of a game in which they're also the players, taking sides in political contests and in the culture wars. Naturally, this means being able to massively manipulate election data as well. By controlling the flow of information, by deplatforming independent voices, that's why they chose InfoWars. This could mean that any Democratic vote is essentially fake and illegitimate. That's exactly right. That's what I've been saying all along. And you can see it in the DARPA projects implemented by their long-term partner, Microsoft. First, NewsGuard. They're going to guard what you see and hear and what you're allowed to push forward on social media. And then Election Guard, because they leave nothing to chance. If you control what people can see, if you control the narrative, if you fine-tune and manipulate that narrative, well, you pretty much have the election. But just in case, we have Election Guard. And that will count the votes on these electronic voting machines. They create an infrastructure for voting. And they say, well, that's very fragile, you know. And we've talked all this time about Russia hacking our election. But, of course, they didn't change any votes. But they will in the next election. So in the next election, we have to control the electronic voting machines. And as I pointed out, where did you first have electronic voting? First electronic voting machines were created, Smartmatic, in Venezuela by friends of Hugo Chavez, who made sure that Hugo Chavez won all the elections. I'm very concerned about what is going to be happening going forward, because the military-industrial complex and DARPA will not only be controlling what we see and hear, they'll be counting the votes, because they leave nothing to chance. When the Internet of Things truly takes off and every application will be required to operate in an online space, we won't ever have to go online. All of physical space will become cyberspace. You understand? This is why I said Google is not merely content with controlling cyberspace. They want to control urban space. And the point of the Smart City Project is to make physical space subservient to and controlled by cyberspace. The internet is not imprisoned, writes Rechtenwald, but it may become a prison. And once liberated, the world at large might still become a digital gulag. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom, and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws.
InfoWars presents The Alex Jones Show.
You supporting the broadcast over the years is why we're still here. So that's why you spreading the word is so critical. And that's why buying the products is critical, because these are great products you already want and need. And then you literally couldn't thumb your nose at the globalists more by holding us up against their onslaught. It's amazing. InfoWarsStore.com. We've never gone a week and a half over with a sale. Usually 2 or 3 days. I'm always busy. But this time, I just haven't done it because we're selling out a lot of stuff. We've already had big specials. I don't know how else I'm supposed to have big specials. 40-70% off, store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points. A lot of stuff sold out or is sold out. Some things came back in, like DNA Force Plus. Turbo Force, the protein bars, Vaso Beast is about to sell out. We've got a lot of great water filtration, air filtration. There's just so much great stuff there. Do your shopping there. Sign up for auto ships. You can support us every month or every 2 months. Click cancel anytime for free. Get 10% off on the order you're making. We know it's less than 1% of the listeners that actually buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. They're also the ones that call in. They're the 1%ers. So we salute you and thank you.
InfoWars.com/show. You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We've got a lot of news to get into. I just wanted to lay down before we get into some of the news and what this looks like, what the foundation for this is. This is not an ad hoc collection of random crazy stuff from the Democrats. You know, Barack Obama, I reported yesterday, said, y'all got to stop this crazy stuff. You know, Americans don't want to hear all this stuff. You know, they don't want to hear that you're going to take their cars, you're going to take their homes, you're going to take their meat. You're going to take their everything about their standard of living, that you're going to push them into a kind of dark ages, a system of planned austerity. They don't want to hear that. So don't tell them that. Get elected first and then do it gradually. Don't wake them up. Don't boil the water too quickly. So let's talk about where they're going with this. Some of the things that are already manifesting themselves here. We have the globalist endorsed war on cash. That's one of the aspects of this. We have a cashless society, of course, is going to be attractive for any government. This is one of the reasons why, again, as we're talking about the fact that cyberspace is going to become the overarching control grid for physical space, urban space. This is why these technocratic companies are so important, as Eric Schmidt talked about. He said, Google and all these companies, we're going to be equivalent to what the Lockheed Martins and other big military contractors were in the 20th century, because they are military industrial complex contractors. That's exactly what they are. So cashless society is attractive for any government, writes the Mises Institute, which explains why it's become an increasingly popular goal for politicians, bureaucrats, and central bankers in the West, not just in China. The governments of Australia and Sweden have made a cashless society an explicit policy goal within their countries, while some central banks, such as the European Central Bank, have begun phasing out higher denomination bills as an opening move in their own cashless campaigns. Because you see, the cash that you have in your pocket is transportable. It's completely anonymous. It's kind of like that car that you have, right? And so it has to be eliminated for something else that they can track, that they can control. Given the surveillance power of a cashless society, the potential of joining a social credit system with a digital currency makes absolute total sense. Yes, it does. And that's exactly what is this. Cash is going to go the same way as cars. Why? Because it'll become a tool of surveillance. And of course, just 2 weeks ago, we had Bloomberg very proud and excited to report a paper that was signed purportedly by 11,000 scientists. They hid the scientists. They had, same people had released this a couple of years ago. They had 17,000. Now they've dropped to 11,000, calling for population control. But they presented it as a victory. And as I pointed out, one of the quote so-called scientists was Mickey Mouse that had signed. I don't know how many of those 11,000 remaining signatures were real, but their agenda is real. And the way the American Institute for Economic Research points out, how many people must die? How many people must die to fix the planet? Well, the answer to that is nearly everybody. You know? Or as John D. Rockefeller would say, just a few more until I'm the only one standing, until I own everything. What they're talking about is massive energy efficiency and conservation practices, eating mostly plant-based foods, creating a carbon-free economy, and, of course, reducing population. And the people who have been selling this all along have been the ones who have been saying they want a worldwide government. You know, the John Schellenhuber, who was put into the Vatican's Academy of Sciences, has also been out there with Prince Charles pushing the Earth League. They're going to have a world council, a planetary court, an Earth constitution, and so forth. And guess what that's going to require? Population control as well. Paul Joseph Watson just had the story out. The globalist magazine, The Economist, tells all of you common people out there, you should just be eating bugs. Why eating bugs is so popular in Congo was the title of the piece in The Economist. They said, you know, they eat caterpillars, crickets, grasshoppers. They're richer in protein than beef or fish. Others around the world should catch up. Bug farming takes less land. It requires less food. It does less damage to the environment than meat or fish farming. They don't even want you to have fish. Eat bugs. That's where this is. You can't appease these people. If you stop eating meat, then they'll tell you you can't have fish. And then you go to bugs, and eventually it's going to be, no, just eat each other. Go completely green, Soylent Green. See, these people always know better than you what you should eat. They know better than you what you should drive. They know better than you how you should live, what size home you should have. And if they can't convince you, they'll coerce you. And we just had the Pope eliminating pork from a banquet out of respect for the Muslims, because, you know, there is an intersectional hierarchy to all these different things. But he also came out, and I was going to talk about this yesterday. This came out over the weekend. The idea that he's going to add to the Catholic Church's catechism, the idea of ecological sin. Now, I have been saying for years that what Al Gore and these other people have set up with carbon taxes and so forth. You have to pay them in advance. You know, there's carbon exchanges and so forth and the carbon taxes. But you can have an exchange. You can pay. You can get an indulgence. An indulgence. I mean, we're going back to the Middle Ages here. An indulgence. Permission to sin. And now the Pope is actually calling it ecological sin. So I guess the question is, who are we going to send our indulgence money to? Will it be to Al Gore? You know, why should I have to pay Al Gore if I have a home or I drive a car or I eat meat? Why should I have to pay him an indulgence for those carbon sins, those ecological sins? Well, now if the Pope is going to do this, maybe he's not content that Al Gore is going to pass the money along to him. Maybe he wants a direct cut on this. I don't know. They want to add the category of ecological sin to the Catholic Church's official compendium of teachings. And remember, back in 2015, I talked about this in a great deal, the climate encyclical. That was a letter that came from the Pope. And now on Friday, after the show ended, he said, we are thinking, into the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the sin against ecology, the ecological sin against the common home, because it's a duty. It's a duty. And the Wall Street Journal pointed out that Pope Francis has generally highlighted questions of social and economic justice, Marxism, because he is coming from that tradition. He's one of the liberation theologists from Central America, South America, the communists, Jesuits. So he's highlighted social and economic justice, social justice, while downplaying traditional Catholic teachings on bioethics, sexuality, and the family. Not to mention Christ. just throw that out there. And then we have, as virtue signaling, Ford and their Mustang. They're messing here with Americana, folks. They have unveiled their electric Mustang SUV. And I wasn't going to say anything about this, but when I saw this yesterday, I saw the 30-second commercial that Ford had out there, and they're bragging about the fact, oh, power has never been so silent. And I said, you're going to brag it's silent? As if losing the best, one of the best exhaust notes out there is something of an accomplishment? One guy pointed out, he said, what millennial jackass, responding to what I tweeted out on Twitter, Libertarian, said, what millennial jackass thought making the Mustang quieter was what we all wanted? Not at all. Not at all. I said, is it an SUV? Is it a crossover? Or is it a cross-dresser Mustang? See, if they really wanted to do an electric Mustang, why didn't they do a sports car? Well, I'll tell you why they didn't do a sports car. Because they offered electric Mustang and a V8 Mustang. Guess which one would win in the public opinion? What would people buy? We already know what they'd buy. They heavily subsidize these things. The car companies are selling them at a loss, and still 99% of the people choose a gas car.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said, it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is, there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. About a month ago, President Trump announced that he was going to move his domicile from New York City to Florida, where he's always said he planned to retire to. And the left got so excited. They said, oh, he's about to resign and leave instead of facing impeachment, and he's running to Florida. Well, now we know why the president did that. He knew the leftist-controlled appeals courts were going to say that he had to give up his tax returns so they can pore over them and harass every business partner he's got. They want to terrorize people that he's worked with. And by moving his domicile from New York to Florida, that gets around the New York law they passed to get his tax returns that are supposed to be private. So all those people out there holding their breath for the president to resign, in his words, we're kicking the deep state's ass, and he's never going to resign. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is, they were outnumbered, and the general was told, general, we're completely surrounded. He said, good, we can attack in all directions. Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Get into some other news. We have some breaking news that's coming up here in just a second. Before we get into that, I began the program talking about the rise of the technocratic terminators who seek to terminate our freedom. They create the illusion of freedom. But the book that I was talking about, the Google Archipelago, how they're creating a digital gulag and the illusion of freedom. Because the whole strategy of this is to pack everybody into their public space, their walled garden, and then make sure that they purge out the people and the voices that they don't want to hear, the subjects that they don't want to hear, making it irrelevant if you're outside of that space, but then carefully controlling anyone and anything that is said inside of those spaces. And that model, folks, is going to be coming to the physical world. That's the whole point of all of this. If you want to push back against this, stand with us. We were the first ones they came after because we were the most effective. And we still are here. And we're still pushing this very hard. But we need your help. You've been very good to stand with us. And we're trying to help you as well. Not just putting out free speech and fighting for free press and your free speech, but also fighting for your health. I've got a couple of stories here about what is happening with water, with mandatory vaccines and other issues, subjects that you will not see the checkbook media, those people who are approved by DARPA and Microsoft. You will not see the checkbook media talking about this. No, it's only going to be here on InfoWars. We're going to be talking about the issues that really affect your freedom and your life and your liberty. We have a Black Friday sale that has already started. We have free shipping, store-wide double Patriot points, which means you can get discounts in the future for purchases in the future. And we've got massive discounts as well. We have Survival Shield X3 Nascent Iodine, 70% off. And we have a variety of Super Silver toothpaste offerings now. We have a new product, 25% off out of the gate, whitening agent added to our Super Silver toothpaste. And, of course, the Super Silver toothpaste has nano silver in it to fight bacteria and viruses. But now we have a whitening agent in this newest version, coral calcium carbonate. You can get that 25% off, that Super Silver whitening toothpaste. And if you buy one of those, you can save 50% off of the children's bubblegum flavor, Super Silver. Still has that nano silver in there to fight bacteria and viruses. We also have Vasobeat, 50% off. Knockout, 50% off. Chill Force, 50% off. Bod Ease, 50% off. Brain Force Plus, 50% off. Many, many products, heavily discounted, free shipping. Double Patriot Points, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's get to the breaking news. We had Eric Swalwell went on to Chris Matthews' Hardball, and he broke this. Let's play video clip number three.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
Okay. Yeah, we're back to kind of, I guess, I don't know, is this Mel Brooks now that's running MSNBC? it is now the number two trending item on on Twitter. Everybody is having fun laughing at Eric Swalwell's expense. And, of course, who better to laugh at? When I saw this, I said, well, it's kind of like, you know, this is the guy who wanted to take all the guns, right? You know, like they did at Concord and Lexington. And so I said, now he's done something that he will finally be remembered for, because he ain't going to do that. And this was kind of the shot heard around the world. And just like the shot heard around the world, nobody wanted to take any responsibility for it. Everybody's pointing fingers at each other, right? Oh, I didn't do that. Did you do that? Except in this case, they're pulling fingers. And so the number two trending thing on Twitter right now is Shartgate. Which I was not familiar with that term, or I would have said the shart heard around the world instead of the shot heard around the world. But now we can, Eric Swalwell, as if he wasn't enough of a joke already, now has this added to his resume. And of course he wanted to push gun control. And the Democrats in California will use every crisis, every tragedy to try to push gun control. And that's to be expected. What I was surprised at, and I talked about it, I think it was on Friday's show, I was surprised that as that news broke, I saw, yeah, another school shooting, that's a tragedy, but why spend all day on it like Fox News did unless you're trying to push gun control, right? And I even pointed out, I said, you know, last week there was, you know, two people died in that shooting. And that is a tragedy, no doubt about it. But we have people dying all the time in automobile accidents. As a matter of fact, you know, they didn't talk about it, but about 5 days before, they had two teenagers in a red Porsche Boxster going at such a high rate of speed that when they hit the median, they became airborne and flew into the second story of a vacant office building, killing both of them. It took a while for them to even realize that there were two people in the car. Totally destroyed that car, but also destroyed the building. I mean, that's a freak accident. That is a man-bites-dog type of accident. And I said, you know, why don't they talk about this? Well, because right now they're not trying to ban cars, but that day is coming. Fox News talks about the shooting where two people were killed in California. Why? Because they want to ban guns, and so do the Democrats. They're now pushing gun control. All the things that California has already in place. A universal background check law, an assault weapons ban, a magazine ban, other gun control measures. As a matter of fact, the gun control group Giffords Law Center gives California an A rating, ranks it as the state with the strictest gun laws in the country, and yet that's where this shooting happened. And so the response of the Democrats is, see, we need to have the kind of gun laws that we've got in California. So they come out with all these same things. Same things. Universal background check, a national ban on assault weapons. Is this insanity? No, it's just tyranny. It's just tyranny. It's the same kind of people that go on network news and break the news, as Eric Swalwell did. But as I was saying before, some of the other things that they don't like about the fact that we report on here at InfoWars I can't tell you the number of times that I've been cynically trolled because the first product that we sold here at InfoWars was, because when I began working here, we didn't really sell that much directly. Most of the stuff that we did were ads, and Alex could see the fact that they were going to use ads to weaponize and to take down news media. So he started developing his and selling his own product lines. But one of the first things we sold was water filters. And I had a lot of people, oh, you're fear-mongering over water. You're telling everybody they're putting garbage in the water. They're not maintaining the water. They're putting fluoride in the water, and they're not, all this other stuff. Well, you know, now we find out from WHYY that Philadelphia School knew about toxic lead in their drinking water, but they kept the parents in the dark. How many times have we seen municipalities? Have we seen schools? Have we seen all these trusted authority figures and institutions look the other way, and they don't care about your health or safety? So you have to take responsibility for your health and safety. That's why we sell the gravity feed water filters. And whether it's something that they do out of negligence, like the lead getting in the water, they don't put that in there deliberately and try to tell us it's good for us. We know better than that. But we don't know, for the most part. Most people don't know yet that sodium fluoride is rat poison. And they say, well, we're going to put it in as medication. To which I say, well, why would you ever mass medicate the public through the public water supply? You can't control the dosage. And that's insane. Absolutely insane. That ought to tell you right there that this isn't about health at all. But in Philadelphia in 2016, they said, while headlines blared about the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, where there was throughout the entire municipal system lead in the water, Marcus's North Philadelphia Charter School, run by a company called Mastery, raised money to buy bottled water for residents of the distressed Flint, Michigan. I just remember thinking, we should definitely be testing the water here, she said. That's because she said she and other teachers feared the drinking water at the school wasn't much better than Flint's. That same year, for roughly a week, some hallway fountains and sinks spurted a brown liquid that looked more like apple cider than water, according to 9 former and current staffers. Water fountains and sinks failed lead tests in 2017. A staffer reported cloudy drinking water in 2019. How many different warning signs do they need, right? But see, everybody just trusts. I'm sure that this is okay because the school, the government, would never do anything out of neglect or even, you know, certainly not out of malice. Would they do anything? In this particular case, it's out of neglect. Neglect that I would say is so profound that it is malicious. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said, it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is, there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Of deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I was just talking about the Philadelphia school. I said, hey, we thought in 2016 we're raising money for the people in Flint, Michigan because of the lead in their water and the tragedy that happened there because they didn't notice it in the water so much. They didn't know what was happening. They saw the water was dirty, but they didn't know what was happening until they saw brain damage in their children. That's why you have to be proactive in terms of making sure that your water and your food is safe and clean. But in this particular charter school in Philadelphia, they said, well, in 2016, we kind of thought about that. And then 2017, we had some water fountains and sinks fail their lead tests. And then 2019, we had cloudy drinking water. And then they never did notify the parents, and they never did anything about it. What did they find when they finally checked it? They found that even though in Philadelphia, the maximum threshold for allowable lead levels in water is 10 parts per billion, the inspectors found in the school they had concentrations of more than 1,700 parts per billion. One particular water fountain on the third floor hit 3,500 parts per billion, about 350 times higher than the allowed level. And you look at this and you say, you know, this is why you have to be careful about just blindly trusting authority and assuming that people have your interests at heart. They're, in many cases, asleep at the wheel. Or they can be malicious in terms of what they're doing. As in New York, you got 72,000 plus New Yorkers have signed a petition against mandatory HPV vaccines. And the petition says, we are New Yorkers taking a stand against legislation to mandate the HPV shot to attend school. This is the Gardasil shot that was mandated by that Rick Perry tried to mandate here in Texas. He had an aide of his who went to work for the pharmaceutical company that makes the vaccine. I forget which one of them it is now. I don't know if it's, is it Merck or what, but whichever one it is that makes that vaccine. Perry's aide went to work for them, and then lo and behold, in a short period of time, Rick Perry had this epiphany. Wouldn't it be a good thing if we had all children, even at very young ages, male and female, vaccinated for this? Anyway, the petition in New York, we are New Yorkers taking a stand against legislation to mandate the HPV shot to attend school. And it's not just to attend school. I believe it is also daycare. We are also against legislation to treat minor children for sexually transmitted diseases without parental knowledge or consent. These two bills trample on parental rights and medical freedom, and the government has no place in making medical decisions for our families. 72,000 people have already signed that. It's still growing. I don't know that they really care what you think, quite frankly. But just consider the fact that HPV can only be transmitted through sexual intercourse. And yet the government is calling for kids to be injected with this vaccination by the age of 9. 9. What does that say about the schools? Well, I think it says quite a bit. And just think about the fact that you entrust your kids to this kind of environment, these kind of brave new schools where the administrators themselves said, well, you know, they might be at 9 years old. They might be getting sexually transmitted diseases. You know, what kind of a school are you running here? Why would I turn my kids over to you? Absolutely insane. When we come back, we're going to talk about, are you concerned about protecting their bodies? How about protecting their minds and their souls? You know, Kanye West had something very important to say on Sunday about that very thing. I want to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
InfoWars presents The Alex Jones Show.
You supporting the broadcast over the years is why we're still here. So that's why you spreading the word is so critical. And that's why buying the products is critical, because these are great products you already want and need. And then you literally couldn't thumb your nose at the globalists more by holding us up against their onslaught. It's amazing. InfoWarsStore.com. We've never gone a week and a half over with a sale. Usually 2-3 days. I'm always busy. But this time, I just haven't done it because we're selling out a lot of stuff. We've already had big specials. I don't know how else I'm supposed to have big specials. 40-70% off, store-wide free shipping, double Patriot points. A lot of stuff sold out or is sold out. Some things came back in, like DNA Force Plus. Turbo Force, the protein bars, Vaso Beast is about to sell out. We've got a lot of great water filtration, air filtration. There's just so much great stuff there. Do your shopping there. Sign up for auto ships. You can support us every month or every 2 months. Click cancel anytime for free. Get 10% off on the order you're making. We know it's less than 1% of the listeners that actually buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. They're also the ones that call in. They're the 1%ers. So we salute you and thank you.
InfoWars.com/show. In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
I just talked about a school in Philadelphia where they found out, after a period of 3 years, they had warnings for 3 years. It looks like this water is bad. It turns out it was about 350 times the level of lead that the government said was the maximum safe that you could have. But they were concerned about it. You got to get around to testing that at some point in time. And you look at that, and I have to say, when we look at that and we look at what's going on in New York, where they're mandating that you have to get vaccines now. First, they mandated MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. So you got to get that, or you're not going to go to any private schools or public schools or even get into daycare. You get your MMR vaccine. And now they're coming out and saying, by the way, now that we've established that principle that we can mandate vaccines as a condition of being able to control your kids, they can't get school, they can't get daycare without any of that. So you're going to have the MMR vaccine. Well, now we can add another vaccine to that. And so now we're going to add the HPV vaccine. And where does it end? Well, it doesn't end because they've established that principle. And you have to ask, why do my 9-year-old kids have to be vaccinated for sexually transmitted disease at these schools? What's going on in these schools? I said, you need to be concerned not only about your kids' bodies, but you need to be concerned about their minds and their souls. And just like these people who saw the warning signs about lead in the water, it kind of tasted funny. It looked kind of strange. These schools, folks, do not pass the sniff test in what they're teaching your kids, what they're putting in their minds, what they're doing to their souls. This whole thing about this transgender thing being taught to kids in kindergarten, that kind of smells and looks kind of funny. It is funny. It's an abomination. And you better wake up. How long is it going to take you to respond to this before there is harm done to your children? Before they're sexually molested in these brave new schools? Before they are mentally, psychologically, and spiritually molested in these brave new schools? Do you take that as seriously as you do lead in the water? The garbage in the curriculum? Kanye on Saturday went to Joel Osteen's big church in Houston. One of the things that he said, though, is he said, protect your kids from being indoctrinated by Hollywood and the media. And I would add the schools. So they're being indoctrinated into embracing lives of vapid meaninglessness by the media, by the entertainment industry. They're being sexualized in kindergarten by a bunch of pedophile elites. Understand that. point out many famous people in the service are in service to Satan and not to God because they value money and power above all else. You start to feel like Satan is the most powerful, and you start to feel like if you serve God in life, it means you'll not prosper, and that the only way to prosper is in service to fill in the blank. In his particular case, it was fame. Now, you know, Kanye has written a song, Closed on Sunday. And he was talking about Chick-fil-A in that song. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies, put the gram away. Instagram. Get your family, y'all hold hands and pray. Goes on to say, watch out for vipers, don't let them indoctrinate. No more living for the culture. We nobody's slave. Well, I would just say to Chick-fil-A, which is now caved to the demands of the LGB tyrants, the alphabet mob out there, and they ought to know this. Do you not know, Dan Cathay? Do you not know when you offer yourself as an obedient slave, you are slaves to those you obey? Do you not know that? Don't be slaves to these people. That's the message. That's the message, not from Kanye. That's the message from Christ. You know, we look at Chick-fil-A, and it's amazing when we look at, there's been 9,100 stores closed in 2019. 9,100 stores that have closed. We've had Kmart and Sears are on the ropes. We got Party City, Walgreens, Barney's, retailers that have announced a lot of store closings, Family Dollar. Payless is going to close all 2,500 of its stores in what could be the largest retail liquidation in history. And yet, in this environment, Chick-fil-A has prospered. Chick-fil-A went from number 7 to number 3 in terms of competition for these kind of fast food stores, right? Restaurant chains. From 7 to 3. Behind only McDonald's is number 1 and Starbucks is number 2. And they did it at a time when across this country you had a small vocal mob of the cancel culture targeting them, trying to stop them from opening stores and so forth, doing die-ins at their stores. And you could see the die-in. I showed these, you know, all these idiots out there laying down in front of the store and people stepping over them, stepping around them, going in and getting their chicken sandwich. And we laughed about it. And it was quite obvious. They had never refused service to anybody. They'd never discriminated against anybody in terms of being a customer, in terms of being an employee. And yet they were vilified. Why? Why? Because they gave money to groups that supported marriage. That supported not the Supreme Court definition of marriage, but real marriage. Real marriage. Chick-fil-A, in this environment where you got 9,100 stores across the country closing, Chick-fil-A makes more per restaurant than McDonald's or Starbucks, even though they're ranked behind them. Their profits are more, even though they're only open 6 days a week, even though they be closed on Sunday, as Kanye would say, right? So in spite of that, they are only open about 85% of the time that the other ones are, and they still make more per store than these other places do. And yet now they've announced today that they're going to cave to the cancel culture. They will no longer donate to controversial Christian charities. Well, what was the controversy? The controversy was marriage. See, what Chick-fil-A doesn't understand is that we've had these referenda all across the country. All across the country. Every time it was put up to a vote, marriage won. Marriage won. Even in California, even when Tim Cook and Apple spent millions of dollars, he spent millions of his own personal money, and he Apple said that they would match any employees who wanted to change the definition of marriage. Even in California, they lost. And so it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court imposed their definition of marriage against the will of the people against the will of the state governments. In defiance of state constitutions, they came in and imposed a definition for which they had no authority. Under the 9th and 10th Amendment, they had no authority. The power to define marriage was never explicitly given to the federal government, and nobody in the federal government, not the Supreme Court, not the president, not the Congress, not the bureaucracy, nobody in Washington has the constitutional power to define marriage. That is something that would be defined by the people and the states who reserve that power because it was not explicitly delegated. And so what Chick-fil-A doesn't understand is that the vast majority of Americans don't agree with the Supreme Court marriage definition. And the vast majority of Americans don't like the cancel culture. They don't like the intimidation. They don't like the intolerance. They don't like the people who demand that it's not enough for you to let them live their life the way they want to live it. They demand that you celebrate what they do. And now they've gotten what they demanded from Chick-fil-A. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back, because this is a very important issue, folks. There are certain things we will not compromise on.
The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.video, and that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever, and that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War. When 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines, more than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is, they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist. or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Close on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. Close on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies. Put the gram away. Get your family. Y'all hold hands and pray. When you got daughters, always keep them safe. Watch out for.
All right, welcome back. I'm David Knight. That is Kanye. That's the first thing I've ever heard of Kanye, quite frankly. I'm not a rap fan. The crew said, hey, let's play Closed on Sunday. You just mentioned some of the lyrics. I like his lyrics better than I do his rap. Closed on Chick-fil-A, you my Chick-fil-A. Get your family, hold hands and pray. No more living for the culture. We ain't nobody's slave. Stand up for my home, even if I take this walk alone. I thoroughly endorse his lyrics, even if I don't care much for his music. To each his own. But anyway, we were talking about Chick-fil-A caving in to the LGBT lobby. I would just call them, I don't think it's an LGBT lobby. They're not lobbying anybody. They're not trying to convince anybody. They're tyrants. They're the LGBT tyrants. Tyrants. And, of course, anybody that they brand as anti-gay, you can't give any money to them. So I want you to think about this, Dan, Kathy. What you're doing by saying, well, we're not going to give any money to the Salvation Army, for example. And, I mean, are we going to now have drag queens standing at all the Walmarts watching to see who drops some money into the Salvation Army pot at Christmas time? So they can follow you around, see if you've got a business or some way that they can punish you in your life. Are you going to surrender to these people? Unbelievable. Stand up for your kids. Stand up for some principles. It isn't just about what day of the week you're closed. I mean, the principles that are involved here about marriage and family are far more important than what day of the week you're open or how many days you're open. What he's saying by implication is saying we're not going to give any money to Salvation Army. Why? Well, now what he's doing to the Salvation Army, Dan Cathay at Chick-fil-A, what he's doing to them is the same thing that the LGBT tyrants did to him. He's saying, well, you're anti-gay Salvation Army, so I'm not going to give you any money. Or the Christian Fellowship of Athletes, you're anti-gay, so I'm not going to give you any money. I'll find somebody else who is a closet Christian or something, and I'll give them. Maybe they'll help the homeless, but they won't talk about Christ. I'll give them some money. Let me tell you something. There aren't any closet Christians. There aren't any closet Christians. So if, by extension, what Chick-fil-A is doing, this is one of the things that really annoys me. What they're doing by extension is they're labeling the people who have been past enemies. And again, it's the LGBT tyrants that have made them enemies. They're not enemies of LGBT people. As a matter of fact, they're trying to help them. They're trying to save them. But people like the Family Research Council, the Southern Poverty Law Center, labeled as hateful, got a guy to go there carrying Chick-fil-A and a gun so he could shoot people. They stopped him before he did. But he was incited by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And by this whole narrative, that if you support marriage, you're hateful. And so, by extension, what Chick-fil-A's CEO is doing is saying, Family Research Council, Focus on the Family, Salvation Army, all you people are anti-gay, we're not going to give any more money to you. Babylon Bee, the satire site, had a headline, Chick-fil-A trades adoring Christian fans for the outrage mob that will never be appeased until their every demand is met. Chick-fil-A has said that it'll stop making donations to Christian groups that oppose the LGBTQ movement. Restaurant spokespeople, and this is a parody, satire, but it's absolutely true. Restaurant spokespeople say they believe this move will be enough to appease the LGBTQ community, and they aren't worried about further demands from the mob until Chick-fil-A is groveling at the outraged leftists' feet. "In no way will this backfire on us," said Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathay. "Surely the left will be entirely appeased by this move. They will definitely forgive us right away and welcome us as one of them. In no way will they hold our past activities against us. This is much better than our previous Christian audience, who were always adoring us and never protesting us. They had a much bigger audience than just Christians. We did appreciate a principled stand." As I tweeted out this morning, I said, look, you got to understand, Christ and his followers will always be despised and rejected. At the very least, they'll be controversial. But for the most part, they'll be despised and rejected. I said, jumping from 7th to 3rd place in a single year, in spite of the cancel culture, wasn't enough for Chick-fil-A. They have decided that they're going to worship the almighty dollar, and that they're going to bow to worship the LGBT tyranny. And I said, it'll never be enough. To which I had some person respond on Twitter, and she said, Jesus isn't despised, it's his followers, twisting his words, living lives full of hatred for their brothers and sisters who are despised, and rightfully so. And I said, well, I just quoted her what Jesus said about himself. I said Isaiah 53, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. And then Jesus himself said, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. If you were of this world, it would love you as its own. But you're not going to be loved by the LGBT people. They demand that you join them. You join them or they destroy you. You worship them. They don't want tolerance. They demand that you celebrate them. You got Mike Huckabee talking about this. He said, in August 2012, I coordinated a national Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day when they were first being bullied by militant hate groups. He said, millions of people showed up. Today, Chick-fil-A betrayed loyal customers for money. I regret believing that they would stay true to the convictions of their founder, Truett Cathy. Sad. Yeah, that's true. Just a reminder that God doesn't have grandchildren. He has relationships with individuals one at a time. And just to show you how this isn't going to play out well for Chick-fil-A, just take a look at this example here. Breitbart reports, a teacher defends a drag queen at school and condemns bigoted parents who object to them bringing him in. And this is what the teacher had to say. Posted this proudly up on Facebook. And, of course, Facebook is very happy to do that. I believe that raising a child, said the teacher, is the responsibility of the community. It takes a village. It takes a village to raise your child. And that parents should not have the final say. Let's be honest. Some of you don't know what is best for your kids. He does. He wants the trainee people to come, the drag queen to come in. He knows what's better for your kids than you do. Parents believe they should be able to storm the school in the name of political and religious beliefs if something happens in the school that they're not morally, that they are morally opposed to. They forget that we make a promise to prepare their children to live in a diverse world. We are not required to protect the misguided, bigoted views of their parents. If you want your children educated with your values, find a private school that will do it. I wholeheartedly agree with him. The public education system is not here to serve your archaic beliefs. That's right. Stand up for your home, even if you take the walk alone. You got that right.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spent a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Liberty, it's your move. This is The David Knight Show.
Yeah, I just read you the statement, pushback from a teacher defending the presence of a drag queen, saying, I believe raising a child is the responsibility of the community. Let's be honest, some of you don't know what's best for your kids. I do. You want to come here with your political and religious beliefs? They're going to have my political and religious beliefs. You turn them over to me. And it's not just for a short period of time, as a matter of fact, as Alex Newman point out an article he's got on freedomproject.com. Democrats are now proposing, and actually it's Kamala Harris, but other Democrats are signing on to this, are proposing to keep kids at school until 6 p.m. They need more time. They want to raise your kids. They demand to raise your kids. They know better than you. Their political beliefs, their religion, are what they want the kids to have. And if you turn your kids over to them, they will have their political beliefs of socialism, and they will have their religious beliefs, such as they are, the secular humanism that they have. They will absolutely have that. Parents, as Alex Newman pointed out on freedomproject.com, parents should be able to hand the government even more responsibility for raising their children, says Democrat U.S. Senator Kamala Harris of California. To help make that a reality, she has introduced an unconstitutional bill that would keep schools open until 6 p.m. or later, as well as during summer months, year-round. Just house your kids there. So you don't have, this is bringing in the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. This is bringing this in gradually, de facto, without adopting the treaty. Every country in the world other than the United States adopted the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, saying the parents have certain responsibilities, but they just don't have any rights. You're responsible for what your kids do. They can punish you if your kids do certain things. But the government will have the final say, because the government will come in and talk to your kids and say, well, don't you feel that you're a different gender than you really are? And so forth and so on. Don't you want an abortion? We won't tell your parents. Dubbed the Family Friendly Schools Act, Kamala Harris's bill would help to further obliterate the family, replacing parents with government school officials for almost the entire life of the child. Cradle to grave socialism. Cradle to grave. Under the plan, American taxpayers would be forced to provide even more tax money to government education so that parents could spend even less time with their children. You know, with that extra time, you can go and you can work some more low-paying wages, jobs, and try to make ends meet as they raise the taxes, as the expenses of everything go up. But don't worry, because they'll take your kids, even as they're raising the taxes with one hand, they'll say, well, we'll help you. We'll give you some free child care here at the schools. And what are they going to do in those extra hours? Well, you know, these kids just may need to have some vaccines against sexually transmitted diseases, don't you think? Over $1 billion, they say they will create, quote, the 21st century community learning centers, quote unquote. Yeah, I'm sure they'll have a lot of fun with the drag queen story hours and many other issues there. In New York, Governor Cuomo has signed a new law. And listen to this new law. Many pro-life organizations have announced that they're going to file a lawsuit over this new law. What it will do is it will forbid employers from engaging in discrimination or retaliatory personnel action against employees on the basis of their reproductive health decision-making. And it contains no religious exemption. Why would you do that? I mean, where do you go for a job where they ask you what your views on abortion are? Well, the only places that anybody would ask you or care about what your views on abortion are, or any place where somebody would ask you if you're pro-life, would be if you were going to get a job with a pro-life organization or with a church or religious group. And so what Cuomo is doing is telling these churches and religious groups and pro-life organizations, you will be forced to hire people who are anti-life, who are pro-abortion, and you're not going to be able to keep these people from it. I mean, certainly, you're not going to have, because you look at the wording of the text, you're not going to have Planned Parenthood forced to hire pro-life counselors, right? That's not going to happen. No, in New York, if you're a church or you're a pro-life counseling organization, you will have to hire people who disagree with the basis of what your whole organization is about, with no religious exemption. This law is a trifecta of constitutional violations, hindering freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of association, in a statement from Compass Care, one of the groups that is one of the plaintiffs in this lawsuit. They said this law would force Compass Care to violate its mission and its beliefs, so they cannot in good conscience obey this law. Unfortunately, the only action that they have is to file a lawsuit in the criminal justice system. The criminal justice system. And we have seen what the criminal justice system has done in California to the Center for Medical Progress, the same thing that they did to Roger Stone. They lie. They hide evidence. They rig the juries. The judge dictates what they're going to do. In Ohio, we have a personhood bill introduced to recognize all abortions as murder. Now, this has not gone through yet. This has just been introduced. The bill in New York that says that you will hire, even if you're a pro-life or Christian organization, you will hire abortionists, people who are going to push abortion. You can't disqualify them for being fundamentally opposed to the essence of your organization. That has already passed. But in Ohio, this has been introduced by some Republicans in the legislature, so it still has to pass. It still has to be signed by the governor. And Washington Post is sending out a warning to Democrats. You know, y'all shouldn't be as crazy. Don't let people see how crazy you are, like Barack Obama said, like I pointed out yesterday. Washington Post says, Democrats coalesce as the party of abortion at their own peril. Exactly right. The Democrat Party has consolidated its identity as the party of abortion. But in so doing, they have lost touch with the American people, says a new op-ed in the Washington Post. These moves might excite the party's progressive base, but they put candidates out of step with the average American, even with many of their own Democrat voters. The radicalization of the Democrat Party has meant that even its former mantra that abortions should be safe, legal, and rare has become taboo. It's epitomized by the furor caused by Tulsi Gabbard when she said that. She said, I believe what they used to believe. It ought to be safe, legal, and rare. She was excoriated for that in the debate. The Democrat Party has now expunged the word rare from its official platform. And they did that back in 2012. They replaced it with a call for safe and legal abortion, regardless of ability to pay. You see that? They don't want it safe, legal, and rare. They want it safe and legal and funded and funded. And as I said, my personal experience on this, my personal journey on this began when I realized with the so-called partial birth abortion, I realized that these people were not confused, about when life begins. They simply didn't care when life begins. They're more than willing to murder a full-term baby and call it a partial birth abortion. Oh, there's still a toe inside the mother. So stick a scissor in the kid's head. Unless you want to preserve the head for Planned Parenthood to sell it and to traffic in those body parts. And then if you expose that, we send those people to prison. I realized at that point in time, there was no confusion on their side. And there was no respect for life. And you ought to understand there's no respect for liberty from these people either. It is. The battle lines have been drawn, folks. Battle lines have been drawn. And we are not going to back down. We'll be right back, though. Stay with us.
There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, General, we're completely surrounded. He said, good, we can attack in all directions. Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. About a month ago, President Trump announced that he was going to move his domicile from New York City to Florida, where he's always said he planned to retire to. And the left got so excited. They said, oh, he's about to resign and leave instead of facing impeachment, and he's running to Florida. Well, now we know why the president did that. He knew the leftist-controlled appeals courts were going to say that he had to give up his tax returns so they can pour over them and harass every business partner he's got. They want to terrorize people that he's worked with. And by moving his domicile from New York to Florida, that gets around the New York law they passed to get his tax returns that are supposed to be private. So all those people out there holding their breath for the president to resign, in his words, we're kicking the deep state's ass, and he's never going to resign. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times, I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.Video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.Video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I've got an update done. Randy Andy, the Prince of the UK. Charles's not-so-smart other brother. We got an update on that coming up. Before we do, real quickly, I just want to remind you of the Black Friday sale that we now have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have free shipping, double Patriot points store-wide. Many, many products, 50, 60, 70% off. We have, as I pointed out before, Survival Shield X-ray nascent iodine. 70% off. We have DNA Force Plus, 50% off. That is a huge dollar savings. That's a very expensive product for us to produce. It's got a very rare and expensive ingredient in it that helps to protect your DNA health. And, of course, the telomeres that are on the end of your DNA strands, they get shorter as your DNA reproduces. You can actually look at the length of somebody's telomere strands and make a prediction as to what their biological life expectancy is, because once those telomeres, those little end caps on your DNA strands are gone, just like a shoelace, your DNA starts to unravel and all kinds of things begin to happen. They've already they've documented this in many different ways. I mean, they find that the Amish have telomeres that are on average about 10% longer than the average population. They'd live about 10% longer than the average population. Well, you can't make them any longer, but you can keep them from shrinking quite as quickly and improve the quality and the length of your life as long as you don't get run over on the highway. But that's something none of us has tomorrow guaranteed to us. But we have also our newest toothpaste, Super Silver. We've now added a whitening agent to it, a natural whitening agent. It is coral calcium carbonate, and that is added to the fluoride-free, but it does have the good halogen iodine in it, but it does not have fluoride in it. The toothpaste also has, very importantly, nano silver, very effective at fighting bacteria and even virus. And so now we've also added a whitening agent to that. That is 25% off as part of our introductory price. If you buy a tube of that, you can also get a tube of the bubblegum flavor of our super silver toothpaste at 50% off. Many other items 50% off. We have Survival Shield X2 nascent iodine 50% off. We have Bod Ease 50% off. Our protein bars 50% off. Our BioTrue Selenium 50% off. That is non-GMO, a totally organic source of selenium, the best quality selenium you're going to find anywhere. And, of course, do your own research. You need to have selenium as part of your diet. It is very effective at helping your body ward off a lot of different conditions. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, our Black Friday sale with free shipping, double Patriot points, deep discounts. We really do appreciate and need your support. All right, let's talk about what's going on, Prince Andrew. There was another interview, not with Prince Andrew. He has maybe now got him tied up in the Tower of London and gagged to keep him from going out. Yeah, this is the guy that said he didn't have any public displays of affection, and then all of these pictures surfaced. The guy who said he didn't sweat. The guy who said, that couldn't possibly be me. I don't appear in public without my suit and tie. And it's all the pictures of him without a suit and tie, but also engaged in public displays of affection, sweating profusely and so forth. This is something that is not just limited, unfortunately, to Jeffrey Epstein and Prince Andrew. This is a sickness that pervades our entire society. That's why I was talking about what's happening to our kids. And these people who have the effrontery to bring in drag queens into our schools, and if any parents protests. You don't know what's best for your kids. I know what's better. Don't bring your politics and religion in here. They're going to get my politics and religion. Yeah, that's exactly right. We got to start giving them HPV vaccines in New York because, you know, even at the age of 9, they could get sexually transmitted diseases because our pedophile elite are the ones who are running all of our institutions. And I'll just mention again yesterday, you know, when we look at the situation with Dennis Hastert, instead of coming after this guy for being a pedophile, they said, well, we got a statute of limitations. Well, remove the statute of limitations. Throw him in jail for being a pedophile. They did that in Australia. It wouldn't be prosecution after the fact, ex post facto. It wouldn't be. It was against the law what he did when he did it. They just said, well, we're not going to prosecute it after a certain period of time. Will you remove that prosecution? The crime remains. It's still hard to get a conviction on somebody after decades. But I think we could get it on Dennis Hastert. But instead, they came after him for something that's not a crime, taking out his own money out of the bank without filing the proper paperwork, trying to avoid detection and so forth, and put him away for that. And then virtue signal everybody, see, we punished him for being a pedophile. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And they covered up for all the other pedophiles who are still operating on Capitol Hill. And in New York and everywhere else is going on. Manhattan music executive now has not only faced a slew of sexual assault charges. His name is Adam Lublin, 43 years old. But now he was hit with additional counts on Monday, accusations that he filmed himself sexually molesting an unconscious woman in his apartment. And this is how widespread it is. In Hillsborough County, Florida, over 100 arrested during an undercover human trafficking operation. In L.A., we have a former KNBC correspondent arrested after child sex crimes probe by the LAPD. 71 years old now, he's no longer doing news. He was the chief medical correspondent at KNBC. And he's being held on bond, a child sexual exploitation investigation launched after detectives learned a 9-year-old girl was sharing inappropriate messages and photos with someone believed to be him. It is totally pervasive in our society. And so we'll talk about Prince Andrew. Just understand, this is not limited to Prince Andrew. It's not limited to Jeffrey Epstein. But the biographer for the royal family yesterday tried to do damage control after this insane interview that Andrew gave. He doesn't sweat. He was scared during the Falklands War, and he suffered a massive dose of adrenaline from being scared. So he suffers from post-traumatic sweat disorder. Cannot sweat, he said. Biographer for the royal family, Lady Colin Campbell, appeared on a Good Morning Britain show by ITV. She was on with Piers Morgan, and she defended Prince Andrew. Her defense amounted to this. She said, you all seem to have forgotten that Jeffrey Epstein, the offense for which he was charged and for which he was imprisoned, was for soliciting prostitution from minors. That is not the same thing as pedophilia. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Piers Morgan immediately came back. He said, if you solicited a 14-year-old for prostitution, you're a pedophile. You're procuring an underage girl for sex. That's what he was convicted of. I'm sorry, with respect. That is nonsense. And then the royal biographer came back and said, well, was he 14? Well, I'm not justifying Jeffrey Epstein. Pedophilia, I suspect there's a difference between a minor and a child. A 14-year-old girl is a child. Legally, she is a child, says Piers Morgan. Just understand that what she's coming back with is saying, okay, Andrew did it, but it was just prostitution. All it was just statutory rape. All it was just sex trafficking and slavery. It wasn't pedophilia. That's her defense. That's how pathetic it has gotten with the royal family. With the people that ABC, probably NBC as well. ABC was so concerned. They did not want to offend the royal family by talking about what Prince Andrew had done. So they spiked that story. As Piers Morgan went on to say, I didn't believe a word that Prince Pinocchio said about his pedophile friend and the fiend Epstein in his stomach-churning interview. And if he now doesn't tell the FBI what he really knows, then he's finished in public life. Because, you know, there's not going to be any prosecution of him. He's a royal member, right? Can't come after him because he's a prince. But he will be a prince pariah. Calls for Prince Andrew to resign as a university chancellor at a university called Huddersfield in the UK. Huddersfield University bosses have been accused of fishing for a knighthood by supporting Prince Andrew, even though all these allegations in this interview have come out. And so now students at the Yorkshire University are calling for him to resign from his post, even though the people who are there want to do the same thing that ABC did. And then the satire site, who says that in season 4 of The Crown, perhaps they'll have Kevin Spacey play Prince Andrew. Yeah, the question is, what are we going to do to protect our kids from these thoroughly corrupt institutions that think they know better than parents? Do they? You're going to turn your kid over to them?
Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, 9 others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws. I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that These products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom, and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Yesterday, the Supreme Court halted the turnover of President Trump's tax returns. And again, this is part of the Bring me the man, I'll find the crime. Bring me his tax returns, and I'll find a crime. That's very, very easy to do. As I've said many times, when the law is sufficiently complex, it's the same as having no law at all. And there isn't any more law that is more complex than the income tax. And there isn't any more income tax return no income tax return is more complex than somebody who has multiple business concerns in multiple countries. So yeah, could they find a crime in President? Oh yes, they could. Absolutely could. You know, Joe Bannister, who was a criminal investigator for the IRS, I've interviewed him many times. He said, he was audited simply because the IRS, all the guys who are part of the criminal investigation division, they were audited on an annual basis. But the person who was auditing him didn't like him. Didn't like any of those guys. You know, they got paid a little bit more. They got to carry a gun. They got to go outside. He or she was chained to the desk. And this was their chance to show, I have power. I have power. And so this auditor decided that he owed several thousand dollars. He's like, I don't know that money. And he contested it. And it went through the process, and they wound up giving him money back. But the bottom line is that everybody knows this. You know, the danger of an audit is the fact that it's because the law is so complex, it is up to the person. And they can read this complicated, convoluted law any way that they wish and construe a crime. I mean, just look what they're doing with a phone transcript that President Trump put out there. Very simple case. Here's a phone call. Here's the complaint. Nobody heard this. As I talked about yesterday, Adam Schiff took the guy who is actually the National Security Council senior advisor for the European theater. He was actually in on the phone call. Adam Schiff interviewed him privately and then didn't put that out. Why? Because the guy said, number one, the transcript is accurate. Number two, there wasn't any quid pro quo. Number three, this guy that you had, this Lieutenant Colonel, was it Vinland or whatever his name is, he said he was not reliable. He was not in on the phone call. We kept him out of the loop because he's not a reliable person. So what does Schiff do? Schiff goes to the guy who's not reliable, who wasn't in on the phone call. He becomes a star witness. He is publicized. His superior, who said you can't trust this guy and who kept him out of the loop, his superior's testimony saying that that transcript is accurate. His testimony was hidden by Adam Schiff and then released on a Saturday. And the media has pretty much ignored that as well. See, if they can do that in this phone call gate or whatever you want to call it, I don't know what they're called. I just call it a coup part due. If the CIA can arrange a coup based on a lot of gossip and false testimony, what do you think they can do with tax returns? So that's a positive sign, at least. We have Democrat Senator Chris Coons from Delaware goes on CNN and start talking about Roger Stone and why Roger Stone's conviction should put more pressure on Gordon Sondland as he testifies tomorrow. Yeah, this should intimidate him. So that's all this was about. The conviction of Roger Stone. The rigging of that trial. This was about intimidating him. It was about trying to entrap President Trump, to drag President Trump's reputation through the mud. But they're destroying Roger Stone's life. And they don't care. They'll destroy anybody's life. These people, these authoritarians, they will take everything you have. That's what I spent the first hour talking about. They don't want to take your home, your car, your gun, your meat, your food, your house, everything. We'll be right back.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, Sweden has dropped the rape charges against Julian Assange. So what's he being held for? Oh, well, he's being held because, he jumped bail or something like that now? Jumped bail for something that had absolutely no substance. We all knew why they had invented that charge. Again, very similar to what was done to Schaefer Cox. The government concocted this elaborate conspiracy theory about Schaefer Cox. And even though they dropped all of the alleged crimes that he was plotting, they still sent him to jail for conspiracy, even though there was nothing there. Julian Assange is being killed in Belmarsh prison over a non-event, according to the Swedish government. They just had to have an excuse to get him in prison. Same thing they did to Schaefer Cox. Same thing they did to Ross Ulbricht, Silk Road, for example. You know, all the media saying all the time, Ross Ulbricht was involved in murder for hire. Shh, don't tell anybody. Oh, yeah, you heard that? Oh, okay. Well, let's put that out there. And they kept echoing that all the time. Do you know that they never charged Ross Ulbricht with that? They never charged him with that crime? He wasn't even indicted for that crime, let alone found guilty. And yet, he was convicted for operating a website. And when the judge sentenced him, the judge cited the press reports that he had tried to get murder for hire and used that to give him 3 consecutive life sentences so this young man could never get out of jail. And then once the judge sentenced him to that, Then they said, we're not going to pursue that. Didn't even pursue it. Didn't even send him to trial, let alone find him guilty. And yet the judge used that to apply 3 consecutive life sentences. This is why I say we have a criminal justice system. Criminal. It is criminal what they do to people. Hiding evidence that would show that you are innocent. Judges who have an extreme conflict of interest, as the judge in California did. This is a judge who had founded an abortion clinic, presiding over the exposure of these same people trafficking in body parts. I mean, and refused to recuse himself. And, of course, the other people in the justice system refused to remove him as well. So now we have Democrat Senator Chris Coons going on CNN saying Roger Stone conviction, quote, will put even more pressure on Gordon Sondland tomorrow. I think the development last week of Roger Stone being sentenced for lying to the FBI and to Congress will put even more pressure on Ambassador Gordon Sondland. I'll remind you, this isn't a never Trumper. This isn't a part of the alleged deep state. This is someone who is a big Trump supporter, a major donor with a direct line to the White House. And what I think is important for folks to keep in mind is that this isn't one phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky. What we've heard in public testimony last week was clearly an orchestrated campaign. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we know what an orchestrated campaign looks like. We know exactly what this looks like. And what is happening right now is an orchestrated campaign. For example, as I pointed out, you know, we had the one of the individuals who was in on the phone call said the transcript is accurate. The star witness, this lieutenant colonel that they had. No, he doesn't. He's not trustworthy. He wasn't there. But they had him on the stand for a very long time, and they hid the private testimony of his superior, who said there wasn't anything wrong with that phone call. The transcript is accurate and so forth. And as Breitbart's reporting in this impeachment inquiry, public hearings are leaving out two other witnesses with exculpatory evidence, evidence that would show innocence. One of those witnesses is Catherine Croft, special advisor to the National Security Council for Ukraine negotiations. She offered at least two pieces of evidence that would help Trump's argument that he did nothing wrong. First, she testified that the hold on aid to Ukraine this past summer was not the first. Not the first time it had been done. In fact, the White House had held up military aid in late 2017, partly because of concern about antagonizing Russia, but also with the Obama administration had also declined to provide military aid, but also because of general concerns about corruption. In fact, she testified, Catherine Croft did, that Trump had rebuked then Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko in front of his delegation. And again, it was after this election, President Trump wanted to know what was going on. And you see in the phone call, the person who brings up corruption is the new president after that election, saying, we need to drain our swamp as well. Another witness with potentially exculpatory information is Croft's predecessor, Christopher Anderson. He testified that he was concerned about the involvement of President Trump's personal attorney, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, because he believed that if Giuliani told the president there were people in the new Ukrainian government who opposed him, that could cause the U.S. to weaken its support for Ukraine, and that could embolden Russia. However, Anderson also confirmed that there were concerns within the Obama administration about Hunter Biden serving on the board of Burisma. According to the transcript, what he said, and during that time period, the Burisma operation was the subject of a number of investigations. He said, I remember hearing vague news, a vague complaint, or an unease about the vice president's son, Hunter Biden. I did not know his name or what company it was, but I remember hearing someone comment on that, and it may have been George Kent. I don't remember, but there was, I remember that coming up once, maybe on the margins of the vice president's visit or maybe somewhere else. But again, that was not something that I focused on. So that's three people at least right there. And yet, when we look at what's going on, with Chris Wallace attacking Steve Scalise on Sunday show. I talked about that yesterday. Misrepresenting the phone call, misrepresenting the timeline of what was going on in Ukraine. And President Trump criticizes Chris Wallace, and rightfully so. Quite frankly, Chris Wallace's line of question was not only argumentative, but it was dishonest and false. And he ought to be ashamed of himself. He's not a journalist, but he's pushing an agenda. And he's pushing an agenda pretending that it's news. That's the problem that I have. You know, you have Shepard Smith who left. He said, oh, those people at night, you know, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, they're not real news. You know, I'm the real news because I'm objective. There is no objective news. There are people who will tell you this is my opinion and here's why I think it. And then there will people who will tell you I don't have an opinion. I am completely honest and objective. Stay away from those people. They're deceiving, at the very least, they're deceiving themselves. But typically, they're trying to deceive you as well. But they're an absolute fool if they think that they're objective. I mean, just look at the news that is chosen. Look at any news aggregator site. Look at Drudge Report. Conservative news or lately, you know, anti-Trump news. It's not, you can tell where a person is by what they think is important. I mean, the news that I select. There's a lot of news that I could talk about. I pick certain topics to talk about. I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you why I think it. But I'm not pretending to be non-bias. Everybody's got bias. Everybody's got an opinion. That's the thing you need to understand. And now Neil Cavuto at Fox News is coming after Chris Wallace for attack, coming after President Trump for attacking Chris Wallace after Chris Wallace attacked President Trump. It just keeps spreading. Neil Cavuto comes out and says, journalists are not entitled to praise you. Whatever that means. What makes something fake news, says Cavuto. I would assume that if the news being reported is fake or wrong and the person reporting that news knows it's fake or wrong, that's bad. But what if the news being reported is accurate and the facts are good and they just sound bad? My colleague Chris Wallace has discovered again the president doesn't distinguish. Well, I think Chris Wallace actually was misrepresenting the facts. At the very least, he is a sloppy reporter, but I think he's a dishonest one as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War when 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines. More than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is they were outnumbered, and the general was told, general, we're completely surrounded. He said, good, we can attack in all directions. Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said, it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is, there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times, I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.Video, and that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever, and that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.Video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Very interesting lawsuit was filed yesterday as part of the fighting going on in Washington between different groups, between the deep state and President Trump's administration. Adam Schiff leaked disinformation to Politico as part of an impeachment scheme, claims a lawsuit. According to the lawsuit, Schiff or his staff gave closed-door impeachment testimony by former advisor Fiona Hill and Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. This is the guy that was not in on the phone call because he was not a trusted advisor, according to his supervisor, who was in on the phone call, who did, in closed-door testimony, say, yes, the transcript is accurate. I was there. I heard the phone call. Isn't that interesting? You know, we have actually had some people who are real witnesses who actually witnessed the phone call in question. But we don't hear from them, right? We hear from the people who are not there. They're called witnesses. Anyway, Fiona Hill and Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who told lawmakers that he was told at the last second not to debrief President Trump after attending Ukrainian President Zelensky's inauguration in May. Instead, Trump was debriefed by Kash Patel, a senior counterterrorism official on the National Security Council and a longtime staffer for Devin Nunes, Republican of California. Now, that underscores what his supervisor said. He said, we don't trust Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. We're not going to have him in on the conversation. He's not going to be in on the loop. And as a matter of fact, even though he went to the inauguration of the Ukrainian president, they didn't want him debriefing the president. Instead, they sent in another individual, Kash Patel, who was also at the inauguration, to tell President Trump what went on. Vindman, however, accused Patel of misrepresenting himself as a Ukrainian expert and said that he was feeding the president misinformation about the country. And then the reporter, Bertrand, then published that leaked information in Politico. Both Vindman and Fiona Hill appear to have lied about a number of the same things, said a GOP strategist and White House regular, Arthur Schwartz. So this is very interesting because, again, this is this White House official, Kash Patel, yet another individual saying, no, he was not trusted. He was a holdover from the Obama administration, so forth. We had him out of the loop. So they make him public. They have him leak information that trashes Patel, and now Patel is suing him. Leaking allegedly false information from the impeachment inquiry, he said in the lawsuit, that Adam Schiff acted in concert with Politico to leak allegedly false information from the impeachment inquiry as part of a scheme to advance the inquisition, as they put it, against President Trump, according to the lawsuit that was filed yesterday. We have also learned that Eric CIA Ramella, right? The guy who must not be named, but who was named by Real Clear Investigations, who was also named by Rand Paul, But Fox News will not speak his name. Neither shall any of the other checkmarked checkbook media. They will not speak his name. Even though Real Clear Investigations alleged that he was the whistleblower, and they made a very good case for it, they said it's an open secret in Washington, Eric CIA Rommela works for the CIA against President Trump, a holdover from the Obama administration. He was pushed out of the White House, sent back to the CIA, and evidently he's the one who put together this complaint, not because he was there, not because he was on the phone call, but because he collected a bunch of second, third, fourth-hand gossip about this. Anyway, Eric CIA Rommela was getting emails from George Soros's Open Society Foundation about what was going on in Ukraine. Now, why would that be the case? Why would it be the case that what was happening in the Ukraine was being coordinated and, George Soros is the man on the scene? Well, because quite frankly, as we've reported many, many times, the Obama administration, Victoria Nuland and so forth, she was the then Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs, Victoria Nuland. They played a central role in breaking Ukraine away from Russia. Spent millions of dollars, billions of dollars in that as well. And George Soros was sending emails to inform CIA Rommela and a handful of other Obama administration foreign policy officials about where George Soros was. Where in the world is George Soros? Now, you can't spot him with that little red, white striped cap, right? He's not hanging out with Waldo. He's got his, Soro has got his own thing going. He's out there overthrowing sovereign governments, trying to establish a new world order, with his quantum fund, the quantum of silence, arranged around him in Washington. Contents of Soros's private meetings about Ukraine and a future meeting that the billionaire activist was holding with the Prime Minister of Ukraine. A primary recipient of the Open Society emails, along with CIA Rommela, was then Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs Victoria Nuland, who played a central role not only in the revolution there in Ukraine, but also in the dossier affair. Whoa, this sounds like the dossier affair. Sounds like some kind of a cheap TV spy show, right? The dossier affair. The man from Uncle and the dossier affair. No, it was just a filthy fiction created by the Clinton people. They probably consulted with Jeffrey Epstein on how they could make it as perverted as possible. Nuland, with whom CIA Rommela worked closely, received updates on Ukraine issues from dossier author Christopher Steele, in addition to her direct role in facilitating the dossier within the Obama administration. Just think about this. The usual suspects. We've got the British intelligence people. We got Christopher Steele. All these people who fabricated this dossier, funded by Hillary Clinton. They moved this thing around. You got also, let's throw in the mix here also. We got John McCain going over, sending his people over there to get it and bringing it back to shop it around over here. So we got all these people in the CIA and John McCain, all the people who want to have forever war, who are overthrowing governments everywhere, including our own. And they're inventing this dossier. And it just so happens that they're all working with George Soros and they're overthrowing the Ukrainian government. And then they come up with this whole idea with the dossier so they can overthrow our own government. And now these are the same people behind the coup part due. That's why I call it that. It's always the same usual same MO from these people. They do the same thing everywhere. And now they're doing it here again. It's just absolutely amazing that they continue to get away with this. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about some immigration news. There's a very, very dark story. Very dark story that came up about the Okies in Oklahoma. So we're going to talk about that in the last segment. I want to get back to this militarized microbes that we talked about yesterday a little bit from DARPA, because there is a connection there that I want to make to things that have happened in DARPA, from DARPA in the past, that you should be very concerned about, be aware of. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I've made a lot of predictions that have come true, but I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. Beto O'Rourke came out dozens of times and said, we're going to confiscate all your semi-automatic rifles. And he got all the other Democrats on the stage, nine others, to agree and said that he was a hero. Think about that. Now, those Democrats have taken all the guns in the cities they control. Their blue cities are literal crap holes covered with needles and with massive drug dealing and incredible levels of violent crime. They know what they're doing. And now the Supreme Court's come out and ruled that gun manufacturers can be sued into oblivion for what criminals do using their firearms. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this country's under such incredible attack. But more and more towns and cities are saying they're sanctuaries for the Second Amendment, and they're going to follow the original Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're not going to help in the confiscation of guns. So you see, a lot of these cities ignore illegal aliens. Well, we could ignore all your unconstitutional laws. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them. I spend a lot of time reminding the InfoWars family of listeners and viewers that without you, we won't be on the air. And I spend a lot of time thanking you. But I really think you should thank yourself for keeping us on the air and really changing the world for the better and raising the alarm as modern Paul Revere's. But something I should spend more time on is just reminding you that these products are really amazing. You've got that pledge from me, but you've seen the third-party test out there, the air filtration, the water filtration. The supplements are all the very best you're going to find out there. And you can't fund an operation anywhere else that's fighting the globalist this hard. So it's not a burden to support InfoWars. It really is something that is good for everybody, that stands for justice and freedom, and makes your life and your family's life and your children's life so much better. So visit InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
To be an Okie from Muskogee. Why am I playing that music? just like I play Clothes on Sundays by Kanye West. I like the lyrics. I'm necessarily fond of the music of either of these songs. It's not my style, but you know, hey, to each his own. But I do like their lyrics, and it's a very important message for us, I think, because we had a story. It was featured on the Drudge Report. coming out of L.A. And when I saw this on the weekend, it really bothered me what they were selling. They were talking about the Okies. And again, they reference in the story, you know, Merle Haggard, Okie from Muskogee. They point out that this Dust Bowl Festival right there in Kern County, California, birthplace of the Bakersfield Sound and of Merle Haggard, the Oildale native and son of Dust Bowl refugees. And his mega hit, Okie from Muskogee, became a defiant anthem. And they talk about the fact that the Dust Bowl Festival, which is always kind of a family reunion, a Park County Fair and so forth, it had lion dancing, it had hay rides, it had history lessons and so forth. It talked about the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, the migration out of that area that was immortalized in the Grapes of Wrath. These people who fled down Route 66, tried to get to California, where they could earn some money. They lost everything that they had. And so in the story that was put out in California, Okies are disappearing from the Dust Bowl Festival. The festival's done. Okay. They're being replaced by Latino migrants who are tending California's fields. And so they begin by making the case that the Okies are just like the illegal immigrants who are coming in. They come out and they say the girl was afraid to speak in class because of her accent. The clothes sewn by her farm worker mother made her self-conscious. She lived in a field laborers' camp outside the dusty town of Lamont. Many Californians despised people like her. Go back to where you came from, they said. She said, I felt inadequate. I felt like they were all smarter than me, prettier than me. I was completely, totally intimidated. In the 1940s, her family was part of that migration from the Midwest Dust Bowl to California down Route 66, the Grapes of Wrath. But what they're trying to say here is fundamentally dishonest in this LA paper. Because, see, what she has to say, she said, they said, it's hard to ignore the parallels between the Okies and the pickers in the field. And they are pushing this really hard. But this woman says, I think it's kind of sad that we will be slowly but surely be forgotten. Folks, this is part of the Great Replacement. And as they're saying now, that county is now 54% Latino and only 33% white. And what happened in that is very different. You know, when we look at Merle Haggard, the reason I played Okie from Muskogee, everybody knows that. Even if you don't listen to country and western music, you know that song. Why? Because it was a national hit. Why? Because the Okies were American. They were more American than the Californians were. That's what he's saying. He said, we love living right and being free. We don't make a party out of loving. But we like holding hands and pitching woo. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco do. They were counter to the San Francisco hippie culture. See, San Francisco left America a long time ago. That was what Merle Haggard was singing about back in the 1960s. And talking about waving old glory down at the courthouse. It's patriotism. I mean, I lived in Florida. They were playing Okie from Muskogee all the time on the radio there. This wasn't something that was confined to this group of people in California. It was not a foreign culture. It was the American culture. And that's fundamentally what is dishonest about this LA Times story. Because, you see, the Bible talks about nations, tongues, and tribes. The way Michael Savage puts it, he calls it borders, languages, and culture. But it's the same thing. Nations, borders. Tongues, languages, same thing. And then the other part of this, tribes and cultures. Say, your culture is tribal. And it's fine if people want to join your culture. If people respect your borders and respect your national sovereignty. And if they don't want to change your language and your way of life and your culture and so forth, then that's why we have immigration laws. That's why we have borders. But what they're pushing here in the LA Times is the Great Replacement for the coming Greater Depression. They're setting up a competition between different cultures, between different languages, between different nations. And they want to invite a civil war. And so, yeah, these Okies were Americans. The only question was whether the San Franciscans, people in San Francisco that elected Nancy Pelosi, whether or not they were Americans or not. And I would side with Merle on that. And to give you, to underscore this, just take a look at Elizabeth Warren's plan. How's she going to pay for Medicare for All? Well, now she's saying it will be the amnesty for illegal aliens will pay for it. See, that is the great replacement. The UN in the year 2000 was telling everybody, you got all these social welfare programs that we put in Europe and America and so forth, the great societies and so forth. Well, how are you going to pay for that? Because your demographics are imploding. Whether it is because of psychological or physiological reasons, the birth rates are plummeting. And a lot of that is physiological. Both of those things are in play now. So in order to keep your welfare state going, you got to bring in people from the third world. Warren is saying with this, her $52 trillion Medicare for All will, according to her website, says a New American, be offset through a combination of amnesty and increasing legal migration levels in order to hike up the population and thus the federal tax base. Is that really going to work? No, it isn't going to work. We know that people who are coming in who are illegal aliens are being incentivized. They're coming and taking more welfare than Americans do. And they're getting superior benefits. And in California, they can get health care benefits that people who are born in California can't get. And the Democrats are incentivizing that. That was part of Cloward and Piven. Let's bring in people from other countries and we can collapse the system and then we can build our utopia. That's exactly what Barack Obama was saying. He said, y'all Americans don't want to hear these crazy ideas. Just do it. Do it. Don't tell them. Like Joy Behar said, get elected, then do it. But that's exactly what I say. You want to collapse the society and create your own utopia? You got to stop telling people that. But that is what they want to do. See, in Italy, the migrants are getting more cash per day than disabled Italians. How's that working? You know, that UN plan of let's bring the people in, they'll support your welfare program and everything. Well, in Italy, a disabled person gets 54 cents a day. 54 cents a day. Meanwhile, the government will give migrants 20 euros per day. That's about $22. And that's down. Salvini, when he was in, he lowered it from 35 euros, or about $39, $40 a day. He lowered it down to $22 a day. But the Italians who are disabled are getting 54 cents. 54 cents. That's how they incentivize this. You know, when we look at what's happening in Minnesota, the school district there, bursting at the seams due to mass migration, guess what they're doing? They're hiking taxes. Taxpayers in Minnesota have voted to approve an additional nearly $34 million in funds to expand the local school district, which has ballooned in class enrollment due to massive influx of unchecked migration. The American dream of owning a home is now being subverted to the idea that these kids coming from other countries have a dream of getting a free education at your expense, at the expense of your home. We throw away the American dream of home ownership to build schools for people from every country in the world without limit. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The globalists know that I will never willingly give up. I've said it many times. I will never give in. I will never give up, but I could give out. And it's very, very frustrating to see them committing all their crimes against humanity, to see evil running rampant like this, and to know that most Americans have already been silenced in cyberspace, that most Americans have already been shadow banned by big tech, and to know that most Americans feel powerless and don't realize how much power they have by spreading the word about NewsWars.com, InfoWars.com, and Band.Video. And that people are hungry for the truth now more than ever. And that if you tell people, hey, the banned truth they don't want you to have is at InfoWars.com/show and Band.Video. So take heart, folks. They've had to censor everybody and shut everybody down because the truth is powerful and they can't beat us fair and square. I've made a lot of predictions that have come true. But I'm here to tell you, most of those really weren't predictions that came out of a crystal ball. I could see where the globalists were going. I could see what their in-game agenda was, what their goal was. And I knew that when they were setting us up to be deplatformed, that they were really setting the precedent to take everybody off air, to silence everyone, to ban words and names and information on fake whistleblowers so that their false narratives couldn't be opposed. What the globalists really feared was independent media and platforms in the future. It was the model of InfoWars as much as the information that had to be silenced, because they need total information dominance for their outrageous lies and the evil they're pushing to succeed. And that's why keeping InfoWars on the air is now more imperative and more vital than ever. There's a famous quote by a Marine Corps general in the Korean War. When 3 million Chi-Coms had flooded across the border and surrounded the Marines, more than 50 to 1, some estimates have it. But the point is, they were outnumbered, and the general was told, "General, we're completely surrounded." He said, "Good, we can attack in all directions." Well, that's the point that InfoWars has reached. And it really is epic. It really is biblical. And we wouldn't have gone this far without all your support. But it's going to become more critical than ever as the censorship becomes complete. And it's not just Americans, but folks all over the world are completely silenced when it comes to speaking the name of a CIA fake whistleblower or exposing a pedophile or speaking out against dangerous vaccines. Because by InfoWars having its own platform, that checkmates the globalists. A question was once posed to Thomas Jefferson. What is the level of tyranny that a tyrant will take humanity to? How far will they go? What's their limit? And he said it is the limit to which other men and women will submit. The answer is there is no limit to evil. It is a bottomless pit. We've been taught in modern culture and society that evil doesn't exist, or that there's no free will, or there's no devil or the God. But those very same people have all these rules for us about speech and how we can dress and where we can live and what our houses can be like. They just don't want us to have any values so they can run over us. Oxford's banned clapping. Universities in the U.S. have banned 21-gun salutes for veterans. These people are dangerous cult leaders, and it's time to reject them.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Robert Davey, the actor, went on with Trish Reagan on Fox Business, and he said the Democrats are gerrymandering the population. Policies that encourage and protect illegal immigrants, and he's exactly right. It is gerrymandering. You know, the whole thing about gerrymandering is the politicians picking the voters. So the voters then will in turn pick the right politician. It's always been that way. It's been that way from the beginning. They would create these very strange-looking districts because they had some insight as to how they thought people would vote based on political party. And so the political party in power would draw the district lines, and then they would get elected to power. I've talked about that many times, how North Carolina, they voted for Barack Obama in 2008. By 2010, they didn't like his policies, and so every office in the state was a Republican sweep. For the first time since Reconstruction, they had a Republican House and a Republican Senate. And then there was a census in 2010. The one thing that did not change in 2010 election were the congressional representation. Why? Because the congressional districts did not change when they had the election in 2010. People's minds changed about the Democrats. People's minds changed about Barack Obama in North Carolina. But the congressional delegation did not change. It was locked in by the gerrymandering. However, 2010 was a census year, and the Republicans then in charge of the state legislature were able to draw the lines for the first time. in 150 years. And they drew them to their advantage, just as the Democrats had drawn the district lines to their advantage for 150 years. And so the response of the Democrat Party was to sue them, to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has now thrown that out, and rightfully so. But that's the way the Democrats play. But that's what's going on with the population. They will replace the population so that they can have people that are going to be sympathetic to their policies. I was just talking about the misrepresentation of the LA Times, talking about how the Dust Bowl Okies were disappearing. They weren't going to have didn't have enough of them around anymore to even do a Dust Bowl festival to remember what had happened. You know, it's not okay to be an Okie. It's not okay to be white, right? But it is okay for the Okies to be replaced. And the LA Times is very happy about that. And so, see, they're just the same. You know, poor people, migrants, that's it. But only at that level are they the same. See, the Okies were American citizens. The Okies had the same language, the same culture. They were not replacing, they were not changing any of that for anybody else. They were simply poor. That's the one thing that they have in common with the people who were coming here. They were poor. That was it. But they turned that into a whole thing about how immigration is replacing the white people, and that's not only okay, that's a good thing, says the LA Times. Yeah, they're picking the voters, as Robert Davies said. Trish, I was just in New York. I spoke to immigrant cab drivers from Bangladesh to the Dominican Republic, guys that are working their butts off, that came here legally. See, they respect our borders, our nation, our sovereignty. They want to learn our language. They want to be a part of our culture. That's legal immigrants. The illegal immigrants who come in here, they're not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. They are defying the jurisdiction of the United States. And that is the fundamental issue. You know, we've had a lot of Chinese migrants, even more, have now been apprehended at the border, coming across our wide open border that is not, and President Trump has done nothing about the border whatsoever. These are Chinese migrants who have paid traffickers to get them across the border. Is it okay if we have Chinese elite who have got a lot of money and they come into California and they have the California taxpayers pay for their childbirth as part of their birth tourism? That's actually happened. The LA Times actually did stories about that. Same thing's happening with Russians, for example, except they typically go to Florida instead of California. But these Chinese elite, communist in their orientation, statist in their orientation, they have enough money they can stay in luxury hotels, but they have California taxpayers pay for their childbirth expenses at the hospital, subsidize that. Should we just open that up and let the Chinese come in and take over our country? Different nation. They don't have to respect our borders. They don't have to respect our nation. They have a different language. They have a different culture. They don't want our culture. Quite frankly, I would be fine in letting these people in Hong Kong who are protesting the Chinese communists, they like our culture. And everybody we met in Hong Kong spoke English as well. I would be fine with bringing them in as refugees. They're probably better than most of the Native Americans that have gone through our school system here in terms of respecting traditional American culture. It isn't about race. It isn't about anything else. It's about nations, tongues, and tribes, or borders, languages, and culture, if you want to put it that way. But we have 80,000 immigrants. You know, President Trump tweeted about this. He said, oh, look at this, you know, talking about DACA. If the Supreme Court rules in my favor, you know, and just understand this was illegal for Barack Obama to do this, and we got a lot of people who are here who are criminals. But, you know, if the Supreme Court rules in my favor, we can do something about that. We can negotiate and let these people stay, these criminals. Well, the left was outraged about that. They said, how dare you say that some of the DACA people are criminals? Well, the truth is, of the matter is that President Trump was factually correct about that. According to U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Report, newly released statistics show that over 10% of DACA recipients have arrest records for crimes ranging from hit and run to vandalism, burglary, assault, possession of child pornography, among many others, when they were approved for residency. The report finds that nearly 889,000 applicants for DACA, 110,000 of them had arrest records. Of the more than 765,000 who were approved for DACA, nearly 80,000 had arrest records. Of that number, 67,861 were arrested before their most recent DACA approval, while 15,903 were arrested after their approval. So they were approved and then they committed crimes, or, you know, they, some of them were, had already committed crimes, and they were, the vast majority of them already committed crimes, and they said, oh, that's okay, you can stay. What were the crimes? Well, battery, assault, burglary, breaking and entering, rape, murder, theft, larceny. Theft and larceny was the highest, except for DUI. You know, when we look at these different ones, battery, 3,400, assault, 3,300, and so forth. When you get to theft and larceny, 7,900. The largest population that had committed crimes was DUI, 23,305. Even more than the number of people who were arrested for immigration-related offenses. You know, my sons were in a car in North Carolina. They were driving along in the middle of the day, afternoon. And there was a light that had turned red up ahead. Everybody was slowing down. And this illegal immigrant, stone drunk in the afternoon, rammed them from behind. They were still going 30 miles an hour when he hit them. You know, it's just amazing. You look at this angel mom, we reported on this story back in September. Her Facebook posts about illegal immigration were removed because they were hate speech, said Facebook. It violated the community standards on hate speech because she said that Nancy Pelosi will never mention the thousands of innocent Americans killed every year by illegal aliens in America. Her son was killed by a drunk driver, an illegal alien who was driving the wrong way on the road, head-on collision. And so she criticized Nancy Pelosi. Facebook said that's hate speech. They not only took down her posts, but then they permanently banned donations to the group that she had there to support families who are victims of criminal illegal aliens. Yeah, you know, the saddest thing about this is that even though PolitiFact says, well, President Trump's claims are false, no, they're not. I just read you the statistics, the actual statistics. But the saddest thing about that is that President Trump says that he will negotiate to leave those people here. I simply don't understand that. I cannot justify that. I don't criticize President Trump for who he is, but I criticize his policies in some ways. And this is one policy that must end. Must end. Absolutely outrageous what he is allowing to happen. All right, we're out of time, folks. I just want to remind you about the specials that we have. Our Black Friday specials are already in place. At InfoWarsStore.com, we have free shipping store-wide. We have double Patriot points. We have many products, many, many products, 50% off or more. We have 70% off of Survival Shield X3 Nascent Iodine. We have 50% off of DNA Force. Very big dollar savings on that. We have a new version of Super Silver Toothpaste with Nano Silver. This one has a all-natural whitening agent. And take a look at that. That's discounted right out of the box. Introductory discount of 25%. Of course, you can get the other flavors at 50% off with the purchase of that Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste. That's it for today's program. Thank you for listening.